You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
My name is Brother Ricky, and I'm the pastor here, and it's just a joy to stand before you this morning. In case you're wondering, yes, I am struggling with a head cold. It's traditional allergy season for me. Started about 5 days ago, you know, stayed up here a little while, and then it moved down here. So if you think I sound more like Adrian Rogers this morning, it's because of my sore throat, not because of my actual speaking voice. But I hope it's not unbearable this morning as we try to say welcome to us this morning. It's my privilege to kick off a new three-part series called Welcome to Us. We're going to do this from Luke chapter 14. This afternoon, after third service, Salisa's mother is coming over to our house, and Ron, because she turned 70 this year. And we are just this past week, and we're actually going to have her over for lunch. And I don't know about you, what happens at your house when your mother-in-law comes over, but we put out the welcome mat. We want her to feel welcome. Now, our house is always livable, but when we welcome somebody, we make it more livable. You know what I mean? I mean, literally, we started on Thursday, and we went through every drawer in the house. Now, I don't think my mother-in-law looks in all of the drawers in our house, but whichever drawer she wants to look at, she can look because it is perfectly straight. I mean, when we open the door and say, welcome, Gran, and she sniffs, wow, we've got freshener. I mean, you smell the Clorox, you smell the dust and stuff. I mean, there is not a speck of dust anywhere. I mean, we got the blower out. We blowed off the back deck. We're going to bring them into the house. We're going to fire up the big green egg. And I'm going to say, make yourself at home. And it's going to be all about Gran. No one but Gran this afternoon. Wow. Why? Because she's celebrating her birthday. Well, this morning, that's what I want to say to you. Welcome to us. But we're not going to do it like I do it at my house. So I'm not going to take off your shoes. So if you took them off, put them back on. We're going to welcome you to us by telling you who we are. We are growing disciples of Jesus Christ who are trying to make disciples. And we base everything we believe about being a disciple on the Word of God. So I'm going to welcome you this morning like Jesus would want us to welcome you. So I want you to get ready. Because if there's any one thing we want you to know about us, is we are laboring. I mean, we're passionate about glorifying God by being a growing disciple. Now, biblically, when Jesus called a certain group of people his disciples, and that word disciple is used in the Bible to talk about followers of Christ more than any other word. Matter of fact, the word Christian is only used 3 times. The word disciple is used 259 times. 256 of those times, it's used to talk about people who are following Jesus. Now, in Jesus' day, when he called these guys disciples, these ladies disciples, they identified them. That word meant to be a learner. It meant to be a pupil. It meant to be a student. And so in that world, you would either choose a rabbi to follow, therefore you would become that rabbi's student. You would become that rabbi's pupil. The word scholar describes this word. Some disciples would study to the point that they would be considered scholars of a certain trade or of a certain man. So to be a disciple meant to be a student. Now, when we think about being a student, we think about Murray State, we think about our local high schools, to where we go to college, we go to a high school, and we have many different teachers, and we have certain subjects, and then we are the students, and we learn a certain subject from a certain teacher. And that teacher influences us in that certain subject. And outside of that, we really don't have a lot of contact with that teacher. Matter of fact, one of my most disappointing times in my life was when I met one of my teachers when I was really young at town, and I said, hi. And they acted as if they didn't even know me. Oh, that broke my heart. No, that's not what we're talking about. See, the word that we have in our mind that best captures what it means to be a disciple is the word apprentice. An apprentice. We think about someone who's going to learn a trade, a certain skill, like maybe carpentry or electricity, a chef. Certain people, if they want to be a bricklayer, they go become an apprentice. They work for someone for X amount of time until they learn all there is to learn about that trade. And when they've learned all there is to learn about that trade, then they leave that person and they go start their own business. But as they go start their own business, that person is doing now on his own what he learned from the other person. Does that make sense? And here's what's amazing. When you become an apprentice to learn a trade, it's amazing how you pick up a lot of other things about that person who trained you, so to speak. So here's what you need to understand about us. And we want to say welcome to us. We are apprentices of Christ. And what that means is we have dedicated our life to not just know what He knows, but to know Him. So that as we know Him, His life will be manifested in us, through us, to other people, so that the life we're living here at Hardin is actually not our life, but it's the life of Christ. Because we want everyone that we know to know Christ. And that's why He's called us to be disciples. Does that make sense? Everybody got it? That's who we are. We are growing disciples. Now, we're not all there yet. So I want to say welcome to us, but I want to caution you. You're going to look around and you're going to see some in the crowd. They're not growing like they ought to be growing yet. And they hadn't really got to the point yet where the life of Christ is being manifested in them in all situations. So you're probably going to see them somewhere you shouldn't see them. But then again, you shouldn't have been there anyway. And if you hadn't been there, you wouldn't have saw our person there. Does that make sense? Got it? Now, because all of us hadn't arrived, yes, you're going to hang with some of us, and you're going to hear something come out of somebody's mouth that shouldn't have come out of the mouth because it wouldn't have come out of Christ's mouth. Just know we have not said we've arrived yet. We're telling you we're growing. We're moving further and further away from the image of who we used to be in Adam and more into the image of Jesus Christ. This is a lifelong process. So we want to say, welcome to us. Now, we're not going to do what I'm going to do for grand this afternoon. I'm not going to fire up the big green egg for you. I'm not going to roll out the red carpet for you to say welcome to us. I want to welcome you the way Jesus tells me to welcome you when He had a great crowd of people following Him. Ready? Luke chapter 14. Stand with me and let's listen to what Jesus said and how He welcomed a large group of people to Himself who wanted to be disciples. Verse 25. Now great crowds accompanied Him, and He turned and said to them, if anyone comes to Me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be My disciple. Whoa. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after Me cannot be my disciple. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not first sit down and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. You may be seated. Welcome to us, growing disciples who are making disciples. Here's what you need to know about us. If you choose to come back next Sunday, if you choose to check us out, here's what you're going to learn. Three things. Number one, we hate our family. Number two, we all pack. And number three, we don't own a thing. Not a one of us. Wow. Welcome to us. Can you imagine? Jesus having a large group of people. And he started out by saying, if you want to come after me, unless you hate your mother and father, hate your spouse and your children, hate your brothers and sisters, you do not have the ability to be my disciple. Can I just say this? It is evident that when it comes to church growth and church strategy, Jesus Christ did not measure the success of his ministry by the size of the crowd. Amen? I don't know about you, but right now we'd be counting numbers. Wow, 783 people following Jesus. Last month we had 497, and now. Now see, Jesus wasn't just concerned who was with him. He was concerned who was really with him. See, as we say welcome to us, please know what we know. Here's what we know. You can be part of the crowd, but being in the crowd does not mean you are a follower of Christ. It does not mean you are a disciple of Christ. Now, guys, this is not the fine print. I mean, this is the billboard saying of Jesus, yet so few churches say, welcome to us. Now, if you want to join our church, you got to hate your family. You got to bear your cross. And everything you own, just sign it over to us because it's no longer yours. It all belongs to God. Wow. But that's what's going to happen if you join us. If you let us influence you, we're going to influence you to be a growing disciple, a learner. We're going to be patient with you. You're going to become a student of Christ. He's going to become your teacher. He's going to become your master. He's going to become your Lord. And here's his first requirement. You're going to have to rearrange your relationships. You're going to have a new priority. And he is that priority. So if you're a child, Jesus Christ, not your mother and dad, is going to become the preeminent, prominent relationship of your life. If you're here and you're a young man who's married, if you become a disciple of Christ, your love for Christ will be greater than the love you have for your wife. As a matter of fact, you must now, according to Jesus, hate her. Some of you are going, man, I'm in. I don't like my family anyway. I've been waiting for a church like this where I could tell mom and dad, I hate you. You ruined my life. I wouldn't be in the mess I'm in if it wasn't for you. Now I'm following Jesus and goodbye to you. Whoa, 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 whoa. Now, I think you caught this, but just in case you didn't catch this, because you may not have been raised like I was raised on the east side of Callaway County and had an east side education, Jesus is speaking in what we call hyperbole here. You know what hyperbole is, right? I mean, my wife does it all the time. I come home, no matter what it is, she'll say, I've told you a million times. And I just look at her and grin. I know she's not counting. And that was the millionth time I've done that. I mean, sometimes she just exaggerates. You know, she'll ask me to do something. I didn't do it. And she'll say, really? I never? You guys got a wife who does that to you too? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know, you use exaggeration to get somebody's attention. That's called hyperbole. Now watch this. Here's what Jesus is saying. Actually, Matthew, writing to the Jews, recorded it this way. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 through 39, the same account, Jesus actually says, if you don't love me more than you love your mama and your daddy and your sisters and your family and your spouse and your children, you're not worthy of me. In other words, if you're going to just love me like you love them, if you're just going to put me on the level you put them, if you're going to be just as committed to me as you are to them, no, back off. You don't have anything to do with me because you're not worthy of me. Does that make sense? I actually did this for you. Got my Greek dictionary out. Don't do that a lot. Got my Greek dictionary out. Looked this word hate up because, I mean, it says hate. And when you start running down through the definitions of hate, you know what the fourth definition was in the Greek dictionary? To love less. To love less. So here's what Jesus is saying. Unless you're willing to love mom and dad less, your spouse less, your children less, your brothers and sisters less, then you love me. You can't be my disciple. And what he's trying to tell us is that when you love him, with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, all your body, any other relationship you have, you will love them less than you love him. Whoa. But can I say this? In loving them less than you love him, when you love him correctly, rightly, as the preeminent person in your life, you will love the ones you love less more than you've ever loved them in your life. So we love our families less than we love Jesus. But in loving Jesus most, we love our families the way we are supposed to love our families. So when you come into this church, we're going to be a group of men who are striving to love our wives like Christ loved the church. And you're going to meet a bunch of women who are striving to follow leadership of their husbands as the church follows the leadership of Christ. And you're going to run into a group of children. Whoa, 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 now that's another story. See, they are young, young, young disciples of the Lord. And they're still struggling with this. But I just got to say to you as a parent, got to say to you this as children. So you got to understand that what motivates us as parents in disciplining you and giving you guidance is we're going to discipline you because we love Jesus. And because we love Jesus, we love you. It wasn't a lot, but a few times, your associate pastor, when he was a kid, And he'd get in trouble. And we'd have to treat him differently than we treated his sister. He'd give us that, "You don't love me." Well, I'm sure at that moment, the way we were loving him and the way we were loving his sister, it looked like we loved him less. But we were only loving him less because we loved our Lord the most. Therefore, we tried to guide him and parent him and his sister according to the love of God. Does that make sense? So there's going to be a time when, I'm going to be honest, some of you Christian parents, if you join us and become a disciple of Christ, your kid's probably going to say, "I hate you." And they mean it. Because here's what they're saying. In relation to the way you love God, it looks like you hate me. But that's not true. But it is true. You do love them less. Therefore, you will not put them first. Because if you put them first, then it would mean you love them more than you love God. And if you put them first and love them more than you love God, you're going to have a mess on your hands. And you're going to have a life that you're going to ruin. Everybody clear? Welcome to us. Now, if you want a biblical example of this, do you remember Jacob? Genesis chapter 29, worked 7 years for a woman. Man, he loved her. On his wedding night, dad played a trick on him, and he went to bed with her sister. And woke up the next morning and didn't have Rachel, had Leah. Wouldn't that be horrible? You know what he did? He said, "Dad, I'll work 7 more years to get Rachel." And he worked 14 years for Rachel. And now he's got Rachel, he's got Leah too, he's got 2 wives. And in Genesis chapter 29 and verse 30, it says, Jacob loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. And then the next verse says, when God saw that Rachel or that Leah was hated. Now hold it. Jacob didn't hate Leah. He just loved Leah less. Everybody got that? But when you're the one who's loved less, it feels like you've been hated. You've been rejected. I'm just telling you this. This was in a society where family was prized. The Hebrew people said, honor mom and dad. Children were told to obey their parents. And in a tradition where family was first, disciples of Christ were now told to put family below their love for God. Wow. See, if you join us and your daughter comes home abortion is not an option. Because as a disciple of Jesus, you will love God first and most. And you will tell your daughter, we're going to raise this baby. When your daughter comes home and says, she's going to date another girl, you're going to say no. Why? Because you love Jesus as a parent foremost. And you're going to parent your daughter or your son in light of your love for Jesus. As a husband, you are not going to let your spouse keep you from fulfilling God's calling in your life in the kingdom because you love him first. And we do not make decisions that turned this thing upside down. Because we are disciples of Jesus. And he said, we love him most. All our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our body. And we love everyone else less. But hear me, in loving them less, we actually love them more because now we're loving them with the love of Christ. Amen. Amen. If you can't do this, there's a lot of churches up and down the road that are good churches. Check one of them out. Because here at Hardin, we are disciples of Christ first. And then he says, we got to pack. I got a brother in the first service that every Sunday I walk by him, and he says, you packing today? And I reach into my pocket, and I show him I'm packing, and I pull out my knife, and we compare knives. I mean, I'm always packing. Disciples of Christ always pack. So I want you to remember this. Welcome. We hate our family, and we're packing a cross. Well, not really. I mean, we wear crosses. Got them in our ears, got them on the end of our necklaces. Some of us got them tattooed on her arm. I love those guys that was in the military and they were drunk when they got the cross on their arm. Amen. I love that. Yeah. There are some people in this community that tears them up that we don't have a cross on top of our church. 2 weeks ago, honest truth, I met a lady in Benton. She came up to me. I did not know her. She says, Brother Ricky, when are you going to put a cross on your church? I didn't answer. She said, it'll never look like a church until you put a cross on it. And I just grinned and thanked her. Now, you do know, right, that in the biblical world, they didn't pack crosses. They didn't wire crosses unless you were on death row. And when it came time for you to be executed, they put that thing on your back. They led you out through the streets. And on the side of a major highway, they nailed you to a piece of wood. And then they hoisted that piece of wood up on another piece of wood. And then they nailed your feet to that piece of wood. And they give you time to die, and if you didn't die in the right amount of time, they'd come by with a spear and they'd ram it in your body. Whoa. So, welcome to us. We pack here at this church. We don't conceal our packing. We publicly let the world know that we're packing our own electric chair. Yeah. See, if you want to get the modern day effect of this, what you got on your back is the electric chair they're going to strap you to, and they're going to put so many volts of energy through that electric chair that they're going to take your life with it. And you got that thing on your back. Whoa. Now I think you understand why when Jesus first started talking about going to Jerusalem and going to the cross, does anybody remember what Peter did? Peter took Jesus aside and said, Lord, 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 this is not going to happen to you. And the Bible says that Peter rebuked Jesus. When Jesus started talking about going to a cross, Peter rebuked him. It's the word epitomao, which means he wrapped him across the knuckles. I've told you this before, but in my day at faxing, man, if you messed up, teacher would get you out of your seat. You'd come in front of the class. You'd turn your palm up. She'd reach into that desk, little bitty tiny lady, pull out a ruler, and she would smack you right there. And if you cried and went home and told mom and daddy what she did, mom and daddy do the same thing. You didn't want to go home and tell mom and dad because mom and dad wasn't coming to school and dealing with the teacher. Mom and dad was going to deal with you at home again. Amen? Jesus got rebuked by Peter for saying, I'm going to a cross. Can I say welcome to us? If you become a disciple of Christ, you're going to have to live every day of your life as if you're on death row. You're going to die daily to self, to your plans, your dreams, your goals. Because as you become a disciple of Jesus Christ and you enter into this growing relationship with Him and you spend time alone with Him and you get to know Him because He knows you, He's going to begin to reveal He has a redemptive plan for your life. And just as the Father used Him and a cross was in His plan for you to bring salvation to the world, He's got a plan to use you to bring His salvation to other people. Wow. I don't know how big the crowd is right now, but I got a feeling we've done lost about half of them. Amen. Man, all I wanted was an insurance policy. I just wanted to make sure that if the fire ever came, I was secure and I wasn't going to go there. So I said the prayer. Yeah, that's how it was presented to you, wasn't it? And what we're telling you here is, that's not what we're about. Oh, we don't want you to go to hell. We want you to know that Jesus paid for your sin. But what we want you to know is the truth, and here's the truth. When you repented of your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that meant that you were pledging to put Him first in your life. You were making Him Lord of your life so that you would not live on a daily basis for what you wanted, but you live your life in light of His redemptive plan for you. Wow. That's why He says, hey, count the cost. He stops right in the middle of this and tells the crowd, now, whoa, whoa, I've told you, honey, you are stopping count. Add this up. You know, if a man started to build a watchtower in his garden, he would make sure he had enough money to finish it. Because if he started and ran out of money and didn't finish it, all the neighbors would laugh at him. I mean, we're kind of like that, right? We've seen people start things, wondered if they should have done it in the first place, and they get about halfway done, then they don't go to fruition with it, and we just kind of... Jesus don't want that to happen to you. Jesus doesn't want anybody out here in the community laughing at you because you're going to try to follow Him, but you can't do it on your own. So He's telling you, you can't do it on your own. Count the cost. If you're not going to get all the way in, don't even make the profession. And then He gives us another example of a king who's got 10,000 warriors, but the other king's got 20,000 warriors. And you know, if you was a king with 10,000 warriors and you was going to go up against a guy with 20,000 warriors, you'd probably think about it before you just rushed into war. Agreed? You'd at least have a strategy. And if you didn't think you could do it, you'd send a delegation out and you'd surrender. Now listen to this. Jesus isn't saying this to tell us not to get in. He wants you to get in. He wants you to follow Him. We want you to join us here at Hardin Baptist Church. We want to say welcome to us. We want you to be a part of us. But in being part of us, we want to be truthful. This is not about a Sunday. This is about a life. It's not about your life or my life. It's about His life. We're His disciples. And I know you may not see it fully yet, but in most of our lives here, we have this desire to get up every morning, go to work, and the life of Christ to live through us. So that we can give forgiveness to that person who needs forgiveness. We can give hope to that person who needs hope. We can turn the cheek. Ooh, that hurts. But yes, that's what we want to do. See, we're trying to so be like Christ that we still hang with sinners, but we don't hang with sinners because we sin. We hang with sinners so we can share. Did you catch that? I don't know if you noticed this or not, but Jesus seemed to like sinners more than he liked the righteous. So this is going to blow your mind. We're not going to have a whole lot of holy huddles here. We're going to huddle some. But we're going to ask you to come here some, but we're going to ask you most time to live your life in the community around sinners. Now, don't hang with them for entertainment purposes. Hang with them for evangelism purposes. Did you catch that? We don't hang with them to sin with them. We hang with them to share with them. And then he tells us this. We can't follow him unless we say goodbye to everything we own. Yep. I don't really own the cows I own. I don't really own the camper I own. I don't really own the house I own. God owns it. I'm just a steward of it. Man, sometimes, can I just be honest with you, this thing being a disciple, it's tough. You know, I take my camper, I want to go camping, I want it just to be about me, just want to rest, and you know what God does? He parks somebody in the spot beside me that doesn't know the Lord. And they like to party, and I'm not a partier. What am I going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to life the life of Christ out to that guy. I can't tell you how many times I've had to back up and go, you know, these cows aren't about what I think they are. These cows are about, yep, man. I can't tell you how many bad words I've heard. I've heard more bad words in my time with cattlemen than I'd ever heard in my whole life. See, those cows don't belong to me. Those cows belong to God. And God just happens to want to bring some people in my life who love cows but don't know him. And I love cows. And because I love him, he wants me to love them. Does that make sense to anybody? That's what your business is about. That's why you were a teacher. That's why you work where you work. See, I want to tell you this. You're going to be in a church that, yep, there's going to come a day when there's going to be a need. It's going to be presented. It may be training pastors in Brazil, and all of a sudden you're going to realize, I really don't need this second car. And because you're just a steward of it, you're going to sell it. And the money that you get from the sale of it, you're going to give to help train pastors on the bank of the Amazon River. Because you're going to suddenly realize the reason you had that second car was so that you could do that. Because you'd have never done that with... I mean, that's just what being a disciple is all about. Are you with me? So here's what we want to say. Welcome to us. But this church is not going to be about you. And I will say it up front. If you're looking for a church that needs to be about you, this is not the church for you. I promise you this. If you join this church and don't believe that, you'll find out we're not about you. We're about him. But let me tell you what I've learned. In us being about him, because we really are into him, we can love you better than we could ever love you by making it all about him. Then we can love you the way you need to be loved. Wow. See, we want you to grow with us. I mean, man, if you want to start out growing, just go to the website. Look in the bulletin. We've put daily readings in there. Man, we want you to listen to God on a daily basis. You know, if you'll go to our Facebook account, if you'll go to our Twitter account, I don't know how all that works, but we'll actually send you a daily reading. And you can read right along with us as a church. We're in the wisdom sayings of the Old Testament right now. We're studying through Proverbs as a church. We want you talking to Jesus. Now listen. Not while you're driving down the road. I mean, yes, you can while you're driving down the road. But we want you to have a place. We want you to have a time where it's just you and Jesus. My wife and I, we have a little intimacy. Try to every night at a certain place at a certain time. It gets adjusted a little bit, but I just want to be honest with you. When we miss that 2 or 3 days, I really miss her. And some of you are missing out on Jesus if the only time you're talking to him is driving down the road. The only time you're listening to him is when you get that little Instagram. You're missing out. So here, we're going to teach you how to have a place, have a time. We're going to teach you how to get involved. Because we want you to be an apprentice of Jesus Christ. So that at work, at school, on vacation, you're lifing out the life of Christ. And if that's what you desire, this is a place for you. Welcome to us. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I mean, guys, you understand, Jesus didn't put this in the fine print. This is just what he said right up front. And so we're saying it to you right up front. Do you want Jesus to be the priority of your life? Above all relationships, above even your plan for your own life, and even above all of your possessions, then we want you to join us as a growing disciple. If you've never made that commitment to turn from being a sinner and put your faith in Christ, there's some counseling men right now who are going to look. If you'd like to slip out of your chair right now and come down here to the front, Chris or Corey would love to talk to you about Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't just rush down here, we understand. Jesus said, count the cross. We want you to think about it. So that when you make the decision, we want you to know what you're doing, that you're all in. Jesus, preeminent relationship in my life. I'm going to be on death row. I'm going to live in light of dying to me and letting Christ live through me daily. And everything that he's blessed me with, I'm going to say goodbye to it because I'm not going to use it for me. It's available for him and the service of his kingdom. Anyone? How many of you are thinking about being a disciple? I'm talking about you would love to help have somebody come in alongside you and teach you the ways of Christ. And you might like to just enter into a personal relationship with a person here in this church to help disciple you. Could I just see if anybody hungers for that? Would you just slip your hand up? Just your hand up a little bit over your shoulder. Anybody here who's hungry, God bless you. Just God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? Hey, we take very seriously your desire. We want to help you grow so that you can make disciples too. Father, thank you for this morning. In Christ's name, amen.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit HardinBaptist.org.